Johnny, and with me, I've got just DJD. What's up, D?
Howdy. And Craig.
Yeah, no farmer. And Craig. Well, you know, Craig doesn't count. And no
Craig
farmer.
Craig doesn't get to vote.
No, Craig, you know, Craig isn't, he's not like front of house talent, right? Like, it doesn't matter if Craig's here or not. He's running things behind the scenes. We've kind of made him a part of the podcast, but, you know, he's not even credited, is he? Do we credit him as our audio engineer? I don't even know.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I forget.
Right before the podcast started, David and I were talking about, I just signed on renting that house. So March 31st will be the last day in my current house. We will officially be living in the other house from April 1st. And I have a couple things to complain about right off the bat. So I don't know, D, I've not been moving around in America as much as you have. So I have a couple questions just to compare here. So in Japan, if you want, so let's say you're going to move into a new house. You know, if you move in a little bit early, like before the first of the month, they will prorate your rent. Is that what they call it? Prorating? So like, technically, we're getting the keys 8 days early before the first of the month. They have calculated out how much rent that is for an extra 8 days, and they will add it to our first month's rent. Does that make sense?
Sure, yeah.
Do they do that in the States?
Yes. Yes, they definitely do.
Okay. That's really cool. It's nice. You know what they don't do, at least here in Japan? They don't prorate you leaving. I wanted to leave on April 5th and have just like a little bit of extra time, you know? And they're like, oh no, if you pay for the month, you have to pay for the whole month. You can't just pay for like 5 days. So you either pay, but right. So if they're getting extra money, they're happy to make that work. But if it's like, oh no, you're only going to pay for 5 days. Okay. No, they don't. They're like, no, we don't do that. You have to pay for the whole month for those 5 days. That's fine. So we went from having like 2 weeks to move to having 8 days to move, which is, it's going to be tricky to figure out, but I'm excited. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to move my studio back into my house, you know, that kind of stuff. And that leads to the next statement of, I was discussing with David, what would I throw away? Because I have a bunch of stuff here, like, you know, cables that I'm not sure work and stuff like that. And it's like, should I just toss them? And D apparently is a hoarder. That's what he just said.
No comment, but yes, also yes.
This is my litmus test on throwing things away. If I haven't used the thing for like more than 2 years, I throw it away. Unless it's like one of those things, like you have it for a very specific reason that only comes up a certain amount of time. You know what I mean? But in general, so like I had this USB-C to HDMI cable that I bought, I don't know, maybe like 7 or 8 years ago. And I had been holding on to it for forever. And I finally threw it away this year. And then like 2 weeks after I threw it away, I like came up with a reason to use it. And I was like, oh, man, I think I have one of those cables. And I started looking for it. And I'm like, oh, no, you know what? I bet I threw it away a few months ago. That being said, I held on to that cable and it was unused for like 7 years. You know what I mean? Like, that's just ridiculous. So like for me, if I can't remember the last time I used it, you know, in a like a pretty generous way, I just get rid of it. It's like, it's not worth keeping. I'll just buy a new one if I need it. You know, I've had it that long, kind of a deal. So I mean, we'll see. Maybe I'll end up throwing away a bunch of stuff.
I don't think I've ever had a cable that like I've gone like that long without using, but I definitely have cables that I've gone like a few years without using. And then randomly the circumstance will come up where it's like, oh, hey, no, I think I do have one of those. And so I'll dig through my bags of cables and stuff, which thankfully I started doing. I used to keep, this was a nightmare. I used to keep all my cables just randomly in a box.
Oh, like, my God. Are you
unpackaged, unwrapped, anything like, oh my God. Yeah, no rubber bands, no nothing, no cable ties, just loose in a box. And they would always tangled up and everything. Oh my gosh, it was such a nightmare. Oh my goodness. But thankfully, we all grow. We all learn a little. Some of us more than others. And I finally started using rubber bands and like plastic baggies to like organize them based on like their use case. So like all my HDMI cables, for instance, are in like a couple of like bags together. And that's made things so much easier.
I can't really comment because the thing is, all the cables I use, I keep kind of separate, right? They're separated from the other cables. And I'm looking at a pile of cables that are all rolled up, but they are in a pile. So it's not that much better. You know what I mean? They're all tangled up together and such.
Yeah.
But in my defense, those cables they work questionably, right? So I've got, 10 years worth of cables. And so these cables I'm talking about, they're not like USB cables. They're like quarter inch patch cables and XLR cables and stuff. And, those things go bad after a while. And for a lot of my devices, I have stereo devices. So if this makes sense, like the stereo out is you actually have two cables going out, right? You plug into the left and the right. And so when something starts to go bad, I just replace both. Right.
Sure. Like, I, yeah.
So I don't know which one is actually bad, right? I don't know if it's which side is actually the side that needs to be replaced. I just know that I'm having issues with these cables. I have a stack of those kinds of cables over there that I could wade into, but I also have like my working decent cables. And it's one of those things. I used to buy cheap cables, right? Sure. I was that person. Yeah. I would just buy cheap cables. Now I'm not. Now I want to buy bougie cables because they just last longer, not bougie for no reason, but like decent quality cables, right? Like that's what I look for nowadays.
I mean, can we also though mention how incredibly stupid it is that like there's different like grades of like HDMI, for instance, or USB-C? The fact that there's like 1.0, 1.1, 2.0, 2.1. And and some of these don't do the same thing as other ones,
Right. Like, there are some USB-C cables that only do data. They don't charge.
Right. Yeah.
And then
despite saying 4K, it's like iffy whether they'll actually do 4K or whatever. Yeah.
I have two high speed USB-C cables. I know which ones they are. But also, once you start to know that, they look different. They're thick, right? They look beefier compared to like other ones. But that's one of the things. So before I defend Apple, I want to say that I appreciate that they did change to USB-C. I think on the podcast I talked about, I think Lightning is the better connector. I still kind of think that. And my reasoning behind that is the breakable part is in the cable versus like if you mess up a USB-C port, there's like a thing in there, right? You can break that, and then you have to fix the port, not the cable. That being said, I feel like the USB-C ports don't get as much junk in there because there is a thing in there, like the little connector thing is in the port itself. Anyway, that being said, not all USB-C cables are the same. Who knew, right? Yep. Who knew?
Yeah.
I've bought cables and then had to buy new USB-C cables, like, multiple times, and yeah, I'm not a fan.
Whereas I feel like most Lightning cables are relatively the same, even when they're made by like third party companies or whatever. It's just like the durability is the one thing that changes,
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just easy to use. But there's like a couple other things I bought in the studio. I bought a couple swing arms for my iPads. Why have I not done this sooner? This is so great. I didn't buy super expensive. They have like super expensive ones that like magnetically grab onto your iPad and charge it at the same time and stuff. I don't have those. But like this situation where I have like, I mean, D, if you think about it, I have a 13-inch iPad Pro. That's the size of like a laptop screen, right? And so now for it to just be like hovering at face level and I can just access it, it feels so good. I am a big fan of it. So one of the things going back with me moving the studio, it's really interesting to try and figure out how I want to reset things up, right? Because I'm going to have that kind of opportunity. If I have to take everything down, I don't have to set everything up the same way. And, you know, things have changed over the years. I have, you know, a different setup with how I'm getting audio, the way that I'm streaming, and those kinds of things are different. So I'm just, I'm excited thinking about it. The problem is that I kind of want to start doing it now, you know, but there's not really what I should do now is I should get some boxes and I should start boxing up stuff here. You know, be like, oh, this doesn't need to be out. I can just put all these in a box and bring it over to the new house. But that being said, I don't even get the keys to the house until March 23rd, which is like more than a month away. So I just need to sit tight, which if you know me, you would know I'm not really good at that. I'm not really good at just sitting tight and not thinking or planning for stuff.
That's fair. I don't know. That's going to be my contribution there.
There's one piece of news I wanted to talk about this week. Is
it PlayStation being down for like over 24 hours?
That's not it. Do you want to talk about that? They were down for 24 hours? What?
Yeah, apparently around like 9 p.m. Eastern. That would be 6 p.m. California time, whatever time that is. Pacific, there we go. PlayStation went down, and or at least that was the last time that they tweeted about it, like, being down. And then it came back up at, like, 7 p.m. Eastern, like, 4 p.m. Pacific today.
The next day?
And the next day. And there was just no anything from PlayStation on it at all. Like, from their support Twitter accounts or social media or their blog or anything. Like, no, like, any kind of, like, information beyond, like, just the initial, like, tweet linked to, like, their, like, PlayStation Network, like, status checker or whatever. And that was it. And they also had a scheduled tweet go out, like, in between, saying, hey, this is how you upgrade your internal SSD. and that got a ton of like flack because it was like,
yeah, I wonder why.
No one wants to do that right now because
oh my god, that's insane.
I mean, just like communication matters, right? Like, I mean, like all they would have had to do was say, hey, we're still working on it, we don't know what's going on. Like, Xbox does a great job at this. It sucks when Xbox goes down, but they're updating you like every hour. Or every couple of hours.
And they let you know?
Like,
and hey, also, like, here's a pro tip. Still if down, you get an Xbox, if you get the Xbox, or if you get an Xbox on, like, during the holiday season, just don't play any games for, like, a week. That sounds so crazy, but, like, those are the times that are bad. Those are the times that, like, they get DDoS and get attacked and stuff goes down. Hey, you know what? If it's a popular time, you know, that's not the time you're going to play. That's saved me a lot of heartache right there. Or you have to play something offline. No, D, you know what? Actually, so what the news I want to talk about is positive, but you talking about PlayStation has made me think about something else that I want to talk about that's negative. And so I recently, I'm not going to say any names. There is a music artist that I follow that's kind of been on hiatus. Not on hiatus, but, you know, they've not been super active, right? And they recently just opened a Discord and they're like kind of coming back, you know, releasing music, posting on YouTube. And they're also like, I think I'm going to play some games and Twitch stream. Right. Okay. And like as a way to build engagement with fans and that kind of stuff they were talking about. So for those who are listening who don't know, David Farmer and myself all stream on Twitch. We are all very small streamers. But why is it that, like, everybody... Well, no, hold on. Let me backtrack a little bit. D, did you know that video games is the most common hobby in the world for all age groups?
That's pretty insane. I did not know that.
I shouldn't say for all age groups, but, like, it's not... People are like, oh, kids play video games, but, like, it's the most common hobby for people in their 30s and their 40s too. Like, it's aging up, right? Which makes sense because, like, you know, I'm in my 30s, you know, I've been playing video games since why would I stop playing video games, you know? But it is just numbers wise and in general, the most popular hobby, I guess that's a safer way of putting it. Why are people surprised when people play video games? Or like, why do people think it's still they think it's a niche hobby?
Right.
Oh, I play video games. It's not niche. It's so mainstream. That's like thinking the MCU is niche. It's not niche. It's mainstream. It's everyone does it. And in the same way, there's multiple people that I've like followed from other things try to transition into like gaming content. And it's like, you know, we all play games. Like you went like so like maybe this sounds so terrible, but like you went from being like having like an interesting niche to like becoming a Fortnite streamer. And it's like, well, like a lot of people play Fortnite. You know what I mean? There's a lot of Fortnite streamers out there. Right. And if you have your own market and all of that, like, I understand that. Like, I'm not like hating on Fortnite streamers. I guess the attitude is like, oh, I'm just going to transition from what I'm doing to this and build a thing on this. And my thing is like, that's actually super hard. It's super hard to stand out in video game streaming. You know, like,
yes, I would agree.
It just surprises me.
Yeah. I feel like there's just so many people like creating content, and also right. in this particular age where creator content or content creator, you know, scratch that, reverse it. There's so many people who pursue that as like a, hey, this will be an easy way to make money or whatever, or an easy way to like gain popularity. And, you know, like that's just the thing to do in this day and age. Like that, there's just so much noise out there. Like, and you really, really, really either have to get extremely lucky or put in an extreme amount of work to like kind of like rise to the top of that. And like, it's almost like, well, anything else really, where like you to be successful. I mean, because I was going to say like specifically like
like crypto else.
Or like, yeah, well, I mean, when it comes down to it, like I feel like a lot of things are kind of like applicable to like a massive amount of like different things in terms of the way that they work, where like, yeah, success just only like anyone can be successful. Not everyone can be, you know, in a particular right. field. And like, that's something that I try to like express a lot to people when I'm talking about various things, where like, yeah, like if you want to do really well at this, like it's going to take a lot. Like I think anyone can do it, but it's going to take a lot. And there's so much other noise that you're really going to have to stand out. And that's just right. a really difficult thing to do, especially when everyone has access to everything in terms of like, you know, for instance, almost anyone like of a like, I don't want to say reasonable income, but like, you know, like of like lower middle class or even like a little bit lower even can stream, you know, like it doesn't take.
I mean, technically, it's pretty you could accessible. Stream off of your console. And if you stream off of your console, right. you have a microphone. That
and there
is
are
enough.
People who do that, too. Yeah. And then there's also apps stream. That can like even apply like layouts to that, too, that are like right. $8-$10 a month or whatever, if you really want to like go that extra like little bit there. But a lot of people don't even do that, you know. So, I mean, like, it's all about essentially, and like everything, the amount of work you put in, both on and off, like whatever you're doing, it just
right.
it doesn't just magically happen. And I think right. a lot of people think that it'll just magically happen. That like, you know what, like, because it used to be like, hey, if the content is there, if you're funny or whatever, you'll get noticed. And that's just not true anymore. You know, like that just true. Isn't.
It takes
case.
A lot of luck.
Yeah. Or well, a lot of work behind the scenes of like networking and promotion and like all that jazz, you know, I mean, like work being consistent, right, is a huge thing. And yeah. Right.
Well, and this person that I'm specifically thinking of, they have like over 1 million subscribers on YouTube, though they haven't been consistent, right, like on that in a long time. In those kinds of things. But it's just interesting. It's just really interesting to see like how many people go into it. And as someone who has been streaming on Twitch for 5 years at varying levels, you know, recently the last couple of years I've been taking care of my kids and not been able to put as much time as I did at the beginning. But especially at the beginning, you know, I did a lot of networking and all of that stuff. It's just really interesting. And also it's interesting to see people come into that space when they do have an audience on another platform, because Twitch usually, you know, will partner people quickly if they have, you know, a certain size audience and that kind of stuff. But it's interesting to see people come into it and not have the like Twitch etiquette down of like
what
kind of people expect and like just like the culture of the platform itself. And they don't really know it, but they seem to be, you know, a relatively, you know, they're partnered already and have a decent amount of people who watch their streams. Like, I mean, D, here's a crazy thing to say. So we've talked a bit about that David and I grew up Christian and such, but like Corey Asbury, the guy who wrote Reckless Love, this hugely popular worship song, he streams Fortnite on Twitch. You can go check him out right now. And as of right now, I just looked, I have more followers than he does. That's insane.
That's pretty wild.
But yeah, he is partnered and his streams get a ton of views and such, but it's just like a really weird thing. But yeah, like you said, I mean, if you have moderate income or like if you're in audio or video or in anything, like it's really easy just to repurpose microphones or repurpose this or, you know, use that kind of stuff. It's just wild. You know, I've been saying this a lot, like everybody and their mom. I feel like everybody and their mom is on Twitch sometimes, you know, of like, oh, like I'm just, yeah, I do this, but I figure I'll just do a little gaming content. But all of that to say, you know, Twitch streamers work really hard, and the Twitch streamers who stand out, it's not just like that they do gaming content. You know, there's a lot more that goes into it than just playing video games, like live, I guess.
Right.
And yeah, nothing makes that more clear until you watch a stream with someone who's just not a good streamer. Like the, and that sounds like, I don't know, really harsh, but like, you know, you see it. Like you'll go into someone's stream and you'll be like, wow, like they're not great at this, you know, this kind of situation. Or maybe it's just that they are not familiar with Twitch. I mean, I don't know, but I recently dealt with one of those two. And I like, you know, popped in and said hi to somebody. I'm not joking, D. I popped in and said hi to somebody playing a not super intense game, and I waited for 15 minutes and they never acknowledged me.
Oof.
And then I just was like, All right, rough. I'm going to go. Yeah. Bye. And they didn't acknowledge. And I actually waited around a few minutes after I said goodbye too. I said goodbye and I waited like another 3 minutes. Still nothing. You know, that's hard. So like I watched for like 20 something minutes. And at that point I was committed just because he didn't say anything to me for so long. Right. I was just like,
yeah.
I was just like, okay, like how long is this going to go? And after a while I was just like, what am I doing? I'm not having a good time here. I'm just going to leave. Kind of a deal, you know. But off of that, all of that to say, I don't want to discourage people from streaming on Twitch. Don't feel like you can't start streaming on Twitch or anything like that. I guess I would just want to encourage people to be aware that, like anything else, it takes commitment and craft to be good at it. It does.
Like, yeah, and when it comes down to it, you just, like with anything, like, know what your target is, know what you're doing it for, you know? And I mean, like, right, when it comes down to it, like, if you want to just, like, have fun streaming games, because, like, guess what? Like, this, like, that's what it is for me, right? It's a dedicated time that I get to play video games and, like, share those games with anybody who, like, has those interests or whatever, or just wants to hang out, you know? I mean, like, but like if you're going to treat it like, hey, this will like grow other things, then you're going to need to put a lot of work in it for that to happen, and be prepared for audience conversion is hard. Audience conversion is really, really difficult. So, I mean, like that's going to be a slow, slow burn when it comes down to it. And it's, you just have to set expectations appropriately when it comes down.
Exactly. It's a great creative outlet. You know, like, yes. I know, yeah, it doesn't seem like it's that way, but it's a fantastic creative outlet. But I was going to say, it's do you remember, God, how many years ago is it now? 2 years, 3 years ago, 2022, maybe 2021, maybe 4 years ago. I don't even remember their username anymore. But there was this young person who came into our community that we knew who was like, I'm tired of working. I quit my full time job and I'm just going to stream full time. No savings, no plan, nothing. They were just like, I'm just going to become a full-time streamer. I see people make money doing this. I'm just going to do it. And we were all like, you did what? I'm sorry, what? You know? And yeah, like, don't do that. Don't do that, everybody.
I mean, like, when starting any new venture, you should, like, at least, like, be ready to potentially fail, you know? And, like,
have, you guys hear, like, how serious David is with that? He said venture.
He said, but I mean, like, oh, but, like, you know, like, if you're going to, like, quit your job to get a new one, you should, like, be somewhat prepared for the fact that, like, hey, like, first of all, you should probably start searching for that new job and, like, get it set up, like, while still at your old job so that you don't miss income or whatever. And, like, I mean, like, I think the same kind of goes for, like, streaming, where, like, you know, like, you need to make sure that, like, you can actually earn enough to sustain yourself. It doesn't need to be as much, but it needs to be enough to, like, actually, like, you know, because the worst thing would be to find out, hey, I really love this, but, like, I can't do it. It doesn't make enough for me. And then you have to go back to something else. Like, I feel like there's, like, sometimes streamers who, like, go full time and they don't make enough, and then they have to go back to their, like, 9-to-5 or, like, you know, whatever else. And, like, it sucks. It sucks to have to give up on something that you love just because you didn't, like, prepare for it the right way, you know?
Right, right. I would like, do you have any closing comments on this? Because I would like to very clearly non-segue transition into some good news.
No, I don't think so.
Bernie Burns.
Oh, okay.
Reacquired Rooster Teeth. Oh my God. What? I feel like this is wild. Totally, like,
that's so cool.
Yeah. Insane.
Yeah.
So maybe people don't know this. David and I were very large Rooster Teeth fans for a very long time.
Yes. Yeah.
I was not there from the beginning, right? I started watching Red versus Blue from season 5. I caught up and I started watching like weekly releases, but releases of Red versus Blue from season 5. I was a sponsor on their site for many years, and David was as well.
Yeah.
David, you even volunteered at RTX, didn't you?
Yeah. I was a guardian at RTX for a year. That was actually pretty fun. Yeah.
I wished I could go to RTX. I was already literally living here.
Because, like, remember, like, what we talked about it, like, when I first applied, you applied too. And, like,
oh, right.
We were like, hey, if one of us gets in, like, the other's going to go too, right? Just so that, like, we don't have to go alone. And then you ended up, like, making the plans to move to Japan and everything. Which happened very quickly. And, like, you know, I mean, like.
But I feel like, did you Guardian once or twice?
Just once.
Ugh, yeah. But it must have been such a cool experience. Oh, my gosh.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. I applied the year I moved in 2014. You're right. Yeah. And I used to listen to multiple of their podcasts. At the time, it wasn't quite as many as it was toward the end. I would listen to the Rooster Teeth podcast. I listened to a bunch of them, like, you know, the Achievement Hunter one and a handful of others. And yeah, I was a pretty big Rooster Teeth fan. And to be honest with you, I don't know what was the tipping point for me that I slowly started getting out of it, but I would say probably the biggest part was Bernie leaving. I don't know about you. How about you?
I would say the same, but also, like, I mean, like, it just changed, right? They definitely started, like, I mean, having younger people kind of take the reins on a bunch of projects and stuff. And that shifted the content to, like, a degree that, like, this wasn't the same, like, content that I enjoyed. And, like,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just started feeling old.
one of the things David and I specifically talked about is Bernie very openly talked about that when he would write for Red versus Blue, he made sure that none of his jokes were referential.
Yeah.
I think there's, like, a couple of but he was just like, because what makes that funny is the reference, it's not funny in itself, and it's important for, like, the longevity of things. And I really liked that, but yeah, when the writers started changing and such, I personally didn't like how referential things got to a certain degree.
It almost became like pop culture-y, and, like, that doesn't work unless it's gonna, like, stand the test of time and you're in on a joke.
Well, in, like, a lot of things, I've learned something about myself over the years. is that I think that I like something, but then compared to other people, it would seem like I don't like it at all.
Yes, right? Like fandoms are so interesting in that respect, yes.
I thought that I was a huge Rooster Teeth fan. I mean, I spent multiple hours. I mean, I bought merch. I've got, like, the Rooster Teeth Chicago shirt. I had, like, a Rooster Teeth cup. You know, like, I had all of this stuff. One of my favorite moments, I still have a picture from it, is Laser Team, the movie that they crowdfunded, had a Japan premiere, and I got to go to it, and Bernie and Gavin were there. But because nobody in Japan knows who they are, their meet and greet had like 15 people at it, you know? So like we went and rented a karaoke place, and like the 15 of us got to talk with Bernie and Gavin for like an hour and a half before the movie. It was super cool, right? But
yeah, that's so neat that you got to do that too. You got more time with them than I did at like RTX, just because there were so many people there. Like, all I got to do was like shake their hand, say, "Hey, I really like your writing," and that was pretty much it.
And the it was really cool, but then, like, I don't know, online it. As I started to get into the community, it started to show that it's like, and I think some of these comments I'm going to say sound mean, and I don't want to make them mean. I want to be clear on that. I don't mean this in a mean way, but it's like, it was a lot more of their personality than it was mine. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty valid. Yeah.
Like, I was surprised, but you know, there's a lot of things like that. I thought I was a really big Avatar fan. I mean, I've got a tattoo and I've got all this stuff, but then I meet one of my daughters is named after a character from it, but then I meet some people and it's just like, whoa, whoa. Or,
dude, like, I thought that I was a pretty huge, like, Star Wars fan, you know? But then I meet somebody who, like, I have an amount of expanded universe. I could probably give you the broad strokes of everything that happened in Legends, like, for the most part, you know? I didn't read everything, but I read a lot of it. But, like, there's people who, like, know, like, these tiny little minutiae and obsess over them, like, and what they could possibly mean and stuff. It's to a degree that, like, I never even thought about thinking about, you know? Like, I mean, it's just wild.
It's interesting with Star Wars, same. Exactly, right? Same. Yeah. I feel like you and I are pretty toe-to-toe on Star Wars. We have our particular interests, but as far as, like, really getting into it, that was one of the things that brought us together when we were younger. But I thought you were going to say, I thought I was a big fan of Star Wars, but I liked The Acolyte, so it turns out that I'm
not. But also, like, to do a brief tangent here, just because it's in the same subject matter, I listened to a podcast of a streamer I follow where they do, essentially, they go over the, like, non-canonical, like, side stuff that of various franchises. And they just did a podcast on Advent Children. And they hated on the thing the whole podcast long. Like,
what? I love that movie.
They were so down on it. And they were like, what even was the purpose of this? Like, this was not good. Okay. Like, I mean, like, just like, yeah, I don't have anything to say about this. And I'm like, whoa, hold up. Like, I'm actually going to have to comment here because, like, this is just a wild behavior, you know? I mean, like, to not like something is fine, but to objectively judge it in such a harsh way, like, I get that, like, you know, like, you can have your criticisms of it, but to say it, like, has no value, it's like, that's kind of crazy.
Isn't it canon? Also, so really quick, before we move too far from it, to be like, what, you know what, like, what's the point of this? Like, what's the point of you? You don't need to exist either. Okay, like, geez.
I mean, you know.
But really, right? No. Like, that's one of my favorite responses now. When someone's like, "Oh, like, what's the point of this? This doesn't even need to exist." And it's like, yeah, well, you don't either. But, you know, here you are. So freaking, you know, I got to deal with it. So why don't you deal with Advent Children existing? All right. Like,
right. Yeah. And I love that movie too, personally. But I mean, like, and it's not a perfect movie, right? And like, apparently it was supposed to originally be like 20 minutes long. And so, like, that makes a lot of sense when you think about it. Like, I mean, like, yeah, okay, I could see that.
What's the perfect movie? What's the perfect movie?
Oh, gosh.
If you had to pick a movie and say this is the perfect movie or the closest thing to the perfect movie, what would it be? Because for me, that's easy. I know exactly. I would say. Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, is
that is really good, pretty close to a perfect movie.
You know what? Really good.
I'm gonna say it. I'm just gonna say it, just because, like, not just because it's like branding and thematic, but also because I do believe it. The Fast and the Furious is pretty close to a perfect movie.
Oh my god!
Just in how well it knows itself and everything, and like, you know, I mean, iconic. Like, you've got your three acts there, and they're all pretty solid, you know.
You never had like, me. You never had your car. Iconic.
I mean, like, iconic. the reveal of, like, you know, of Brian being a cop and everything. Like, I mean, like, you know, and like the whole, like, all this, like, intrigue going on about, like, who's, like, actually stealing the DVD players and all that. I mean,
DVD players. Jesse's
death. Jesse's death at the end. You know, I mean, like, oh, like, it's just, you know, I mean, like, there's some meat there. I think they do it really well.
One of the big issues that we have is, like, do we make the title of the podcast something that's funny to us or something that we think listeners will click on? Because I want the title this week to be Fast and Furious is the perfect movie. Is a perfect movie or something, right? Fast and Furious is a perfect movie.
I mean, and, you know, I like it. That wouldn't be incorrect, you know, as a statement of fact.
And
I was gonna start. Yeah, and good thing he's not here then, I guess. Our special guest star. Yeah,
he would probably say something stupid like Indiana Jones.
I was originally gonna open this podcast by saying you may not be financially compensated for the PlayStation outage. But then just make that the title. But I mean, I kind of like Fast and Furious is the perfect movie better.
It's the perfect movie. It's a great movie. You know, God, so many movies from that era are just so great, though. Like,
I feel like Captain America and Winter Soldier is really good, really close to being perfect.
Yeah. I would say this, as far as Winter Soldier is concerned, that Pirates has on it. And maybe it's not necessary, but Pirates does have a romance subplot.
Sure, yeah.
There is no romantic subplot in Winter Soldier.
I like there's the like a hints little at it that it? Aren't like actually real, though. Like, I mean, I don't know.
But it's
like
not
it makes it clear thing. That it's not, you know, actually romantic. But like it adds enough to it that it's like, oh, there's a little bit of this, like, oh, they're flirting. That's cute, you know? Like, I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, and for me with Pirates, that's one of the things that I like about it is in a weird way, it kind of has something for everybody, but not in a bad way. Right. It executes on all of it really well. But like it's like, oh, there's action, there's intrigue, there's plot twists and romance. Like, you know what another good one is Princess Bride. Actually, the Princess Bride is a pretty great movie. Before we get too far, Rooster Teeth has been acquired by Bernie Burns. And Box Canyon Productions, it's a very happy thing. I'm super happy. David, didn't we talk about them closing on the podcast? I mean, we talked a lot about it off the podcast for sure.
Yeah.
I'm very happy about it. He specifically wants to bring it back to its roots. And he talked about on Morning Somewhere wanting it to be more focused on like passion projects and like releasing positive things and things that people are excited about. It actually, honestly, gave me like little warm fuzzies about our own podcast, you know?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm very much a fan of this cast. I'm very much a fan of us not hating on Advent Children.
Yeah. Just me saying that the host of that place doesn't need to exist either.
I mean, yeah, they're cool guys, I guess. But I mean, like, you know, like, yeah, I just had serious issues with their takes. Because, like, one of the things they said was that you need to know Final Fantasy to, like, enjoy Advent Children. I didn't know a lick. Like, maybe a few clips here and there from, like, seeing you play a little bit of it. But, like, I didn't know anything about Final Fantasy when I first saw that movie. And, like, I thought that, I don't know, like, not to get on a whole, like, Advent Children defense, like, you know, tangent.
That's kind of what this podcast has become. But keep going. I love that movie. Keep going.
But also, like, I thought part of the reason it was so disjointed, because I didn't know anything about the story or whatever, was like, hey, here's this guy who's obviously been through some things, obviously has trauma about it. Like, yeah, his view of the world is going to be kind of disjointed. Like, it's not necessarily going to be like make a whole ton of sense. And partly because it was like, I knew it was a video game movie. I didn't necessarily know like the video game like content it was based on necessarily, but like I knew it was a video game movie. So I guess I had my expectations kind of set for that. But then also like just in terms of, and also, oh my gosh, the visuals were so gorgeous at the time and still hold up, I feel like.
I feel like they still hold up, yeah.
Yeah. But like some of the things, like they criticized like the one part where they all throw Cloud up, you know, to like go super high. And it's like, oh, yeah. The physics of this are ridiculous. And it's like, well, yeah, sure. But A, it's a video game movie. And also B, this is kind of like metaphorical in a way. Or like this has a meaning to it, exactly. You know, of like all these people coming together to help this guy who's been through so much, you know, I mean, like. And it turns out that he does need help from his friends sometimes to get done what he needs to get done. And there's something beautiful about that. Like, no, like, I'm getting a little emotional talking about
it. I'm getting emotional thinking about it. No, but like the hard part is like the weird picking and choosing, right? Is it's like right. You can't hate on that moment in like literally a single anime, right? You can't hate on that moment.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too. Like Japanese anything. Like animated projects all have this, you know? Like, I mean, it's not like unique to like Advent Children. Like, I mean, yeah.
But I feel the same. Like, it's like, oh, you need to know Final Fantasy. No, you don't. What are you talking about? Like, clearly, it's this weird hero's journey of he won the big battle, but something's wrong with him, but he doesn't want to tell. You know, like, right. I don't know. I didn't find it that way at all. And as far as it being disjointed and such, like, yeah, I kind of get it. But yeah, hating on it, it's really an interesting take because I feel like it sounds like, how can you like any how can you like any Japanese related anything? Like, you can't like any of the Final Fantasy games if you don't like that movie.
Well, like,
at least not objectively.
It's just, it's really interesting. Like, I mean, like, because like each culture has their own way of doing media, right? I feel like in general, like American culture tends to be like overly violent for like no apparent reason sometimes, you know, like when it comes down to like Latino media, it tends to be like really dramatic. Like, there was a reality show that, like, just aired, like, an episode of, like, this, like, guy's, like, girlfriend cheating on him or whatever. And it was, like, one of those, like, reality TV shows. And he, like, drops to his knees and screams to the sky. And it's like, yeah, this is, like, Spanish soap opera kind of, you know? I mean, like, it just, yeah, it just kind of fit. It's kind of what I would, I mean, not to, you know, just, like, that's kind of what I'm used to seeing from, like, particular things. And so, like, when it comes down to, like, anything, like, from Japan, I'm expecting a certain amount of, like, drama to it, you know? Or, like, like over-the-topness, you know? Of, like, that's just how they tell stories. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's actually really cool. And then I think that, like, what we have also sometimes when we're lucky enough is, like, when you have the right creators partner with the right creators in the right, like, place and time, you get a melding of that, which makes something even greater than the sum of its parts, which is really cool too. And granted, that's not all the time, but I think that like it's really cool to also be able to like have these very different kind of like methods of storytelling out there that you can kind of experience as well.
Right. Well, it's like what you said. I want to come back to it because it was a very good point and like we need to talk about it. There's something called media literacy. And there's really important things of, it's not even just in movies and in games and stuff, but also in books and such, and the use of metaphor and those kinds of things. And I know we all, you know, we're in the age of like everyone is a visual effects, you know, expert now. I love it. They're all like, oh, this looks like AI. And then like, you know, like that new, that Superman shot where he spins around and his eyes aren't perfect and stuff. And everyone's like, oh, it's AI generated. And then James Gunn was like, it's not AI generated. This is totally him, you know, and all of that. And people just love to hate on stuff now, but also like this specific example here, what in the world is going on with the physics of them throwing him up higher to face like Bahamut? Right. And it's like, okay, but that's not the point of that sequence. Like you said, the point of the sequence is that he's been trying on his own. And by the way, the whole movie up until that point, he's been failing as well.
Yeah.
And it turns out that he does need his friends to elevate him, like you said, to face what he needs to face and do what he needs to do as the hero, right? It's a storytelling device. The physics of it don't matter. That's not the point of the sequence,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And
sometimes for, you know, it's like the same people who are like, oh, why didn't they just use the eagles to fly, you know, to Mount Doom? And it's like, you know, sometimes in our quest to like sound smart and find plot holes in a story, it's just like, guys, it's not real. It's not a real story. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you.
And also, you know,
if you knew
when
that,
it comes down
it's
journey before destination.
Exactly. Journey before destination. Like, there is a point of it of like, you know, willful suspension of disbelief, sure, but like recognizing why certain things are used, and it's like, well, that's not the point of this. So like that criticism, I don't want to say it's not valid, because I guess it is valid. Why couldn't they have found something else? But then you just get into the whole thing of like, well, stories and plot and such, like, you know, it's why tell any stories then, right? What's the point of a story and the purpose of it, and like what the writers are choosing to accomplish that? And while we can poke holes in it, like, have you seen my new favorite one for Lord of the Rings isn't the why didn't they use the eagles? It's why didn't they just take a boat there? Because you could take a boat from like Rivendell to the ocean and then back up the river to Mordor. And they're like, it would have been way safer and like made way more sense. And it's like, you know, the whole point of this story is about how power corrupts. That's it. And like good triumphing over evil. That's like, and fellowship and going through stuff together and loss and sacrifice and like bravery. That's what this story is about. It's not about we need to destroy a piece of jewelry, you know?
I think when it comes down to it, with any form of art, and this is probably a part of a larger conversation that we probably don't need to have right now, but I think with any form of art, like, there's two questions that you should probably ask, and then just kind of leave it at that. Like, I mean, obviously you can criticize anything, and that's fine.
Of course.
And some things are worthy of critique for sure. But like, first, I think the two most important things are, firstly, what is the artist trying to say? Right. And then secondly, what can I take from this? You know, like, as a consumer of this art. And like, I think anything beyond there is valid, but like not nearly as important as those two things. Because like, that's what art is it's like intent, right? It's intent kind of like manifested into a work that like you can then consume, you know? And
right.
Yeah.
And I want to touch on something before we wrap up. And so I've talked about it quite a bit, but you know, for those listening, I live in Japan, and I've lived in Japan for the last 10 years. And one thing that, I mean, it's going to be pretty obvious as I talk about it, but it's something that is a very big cultural thing here that is not such a big cultural thing in the States to the same degree. And it affects the story of Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, fantastic movie, is that a big part of Japanese culture is that you don't want to be a burden on other people. You don't want to inconvenience others, right? And this is it can be a big stressor for people. And it's a huge reason why people don't voice their needs or ask for help and do those things, because it's like they're, you know, striving for independence or whatever. But, oh, because I don't want to inconvenience you, even the people I love. So when you start to remember, again, this whole sequence that we talked about the point of them throwing him further up into the air and stuff and all of that, but then also why he acts that way. Why is he refusing to ask for help when he's clearly, like, first off, he's like literally dying and sick, right? And he's not talking about it to anybody and refusing to ask for help, even though he keeps failing. And it's like, he does not want to burden the people around him with this, which, like, that's a kind of a universal thing, but especially here in Japan, it's a big cultural thing, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Well, and maybe that's why I could relate to it.
We're not necessarily going to catch on.
Yeah, it's just because like that not wanting to burden thing has been a thing for me like my whole life. So I mean, like, maybe that's why I was able to like, yeah, maybe that's why I was able to relate to it in a way that like some other people might not be able to. But also, like, I feel like if you try to explain certain things, like from like the artist's point of view, or at least from your interpretation of what the artist maybe possibly meant, like you could easily do that with like the disjointedness of the storytelling of that, like being like, oh, he's sick, he's dying, you know, like, I mean, like he's been through trauma. Like, I mean, like he's got this geostigma thing. Like, I mean, like maybe that's affecting how you see his story, you know? Right. I mean, like, yeah, I don't know.
But on that note, I think that's good for this week, D. Everyone, two things. Support Rooster Teeth Reacquired by Bernie Burns. We want to show them some love because I'm super pumped about it. And also go watch Final Fantasy VII Advent Children and enjoy it.
And let us know how much you hate it or whatever.
No, enjoy it. Enjoy it.
And enjoy things. You know what? It's okay to enjoy. It's okay to not like things, but also enjoy things. You know, I mean, that's important.
You know what? I'm happy you said that, D. I agree. I'm kind of tired of, you know what I saw? I saw the Fantastic Four trailer. I thought it looked great, but then I made the mistake of going online. And apparently the consensus is everybody hates it. Just like everybody hates the new Superman movie. I posted on threads about it, about how apparently now, remember when we used to just like things? Remember that? Remember when we were excited for stuff before everyone was a visual effects expert and like an AI expert? Remember that? And we just all just like got excited for stuff coming out that like, oh man, isn't it cool that we live in a world where they're going to give the Fantastic Four a third chance? Isn't that cool? Insane. Yeah, I'm super excited about it. And like, yeah, enjoy some, unapologetically enjoy something. There's nothing wrong with enjoying it. And maybe that thing you're unapologetically enjoying is this podcast. So make sure that you give us a good rating and do all the stuff you're supposed to do.
I can't wait till we have sponsors so we can use that same segue.
Exactly.
Get out of here, Craig.